Welcome back, everybody, to the We Are Adult Show, brought to you by Hoppyhead Productions. I am your host, Sean. Across the way, Danny. Welcome back, man.
Welcome back. And we have a very special guest, Justin Mallari of the Geek Say What Network, who I personally put out of a job, I will say.
Dude, why are you going after people, Danny? You have a very eerie trend. Like, I hope, like, nobody listens to this episode, because then nobody's going to come back on the show.
But it's, no. It's the reverse. It's if I'm on their podcast.
Oh, worse. Got you.
Got yes, you. It's all his fault, yeah.
Yeah, I forgot to ask you if you mentioned that curse to Berto before he asked me to be on his show.
Oh, crap, I didn't.
So we'll blindly test this theory, see if I can go 4 for 4?
Yeah. So I'm not going to say anything. I do know there's been some changes at his job, so I'm not going
to
say anything else.
The storm is starting to happen. Justin's going to go, oh, you lost your job? Yeah. That really
I meant to tell you about that, but our host on episode, it'll come out like when episode 10 airs. Mm. Is available for listening.
Yeah.
So, as I mentioned, he is a professional podcaster now, because that's his job. Not
trying to turn pro.
Yeah. I mean, you're more pro than us, so. I mean the bar is like literally on the ground though, so I don't know if like that's a good comparison, but I'm okay with that.
Oh man. So actually, before we go into your personal life, Justin, 20 questions.
Okay.
We're going to start every episode like we do with a beer. Did you
with a beard,
Justin?
Did you with grow a beard?
I always no. That's you, Justin. Sean, when we go on vacations, you're my beard. You cover for me. I mean, Jody's my beard. I take that back. Yeah, I was like, I pulled a Sean today. I meant to do research, and then I remembered I had to do it like 5 minutes before the show.
Oh, you just grabbed a random beer from the fridge.
Well, no, I knew the beer I wanted to drink, but I just to talk about it. So you go first, Sean.
All right. And this, from the great, I don't know if it's great, but from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Yards Brewing Company. They opened up in '94. Fun fact, their motto is Ales of the Revolution, and a lot of their beers have our founding fathers on them. So I went with Washington's Porter, coming in at 7%. I mean, I don't know why I took a drink, because like, I'm on my second beer already. I was pre-gaming for the show today. Very robust. It has a very traditional porter taste. You definitely taste the chocolate malt and the different roasted malts in there. It's not a... It's somebody that if you want a nice sweet porter with all your crazy maple syrups and different stuff, this is not for you. But pretty solid nonetheless.
Were you able to get a beer, Justin? Or did I drop the ball again? Because you can just blame me.
Actually, having the one you gave me on your Berto's show, the Broken Skull IPA from El Segundo. Really nice, easy drinking IPA. It's a bit more accessible, a bit more sessionable. It's only 6.7 ABV. You get a few different hops in there, but still surprisingly like lighter on the palate, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know if I'd still do what Stone Cold does, where he takes like a cooler full of beers in the ring and then chugs them right there. I don't know if I'd do that with this, but if you did, you'd be pretty drunk.
Well, I mean, to be fair, about half of what goes in his mouth only goes down his throat. I'm sure most of it ends up on the ring or his shirt.
Right.
So that's the truth. It's not like he's actually shotgunning it. He's just funneling it in his face region.
Yeah.
Right.
It's so funny because, like, I don't know if you guys are getting it, but they have like the new WWE commercial where they're like going around. It's like you just see Stone Cold like sitting there ordering like at a fancy table, and like the waiter just is like this scrawny kid with like glasses. He just slams like the tray full of glasses. Everybody looks, and Stone Cold it just pans back and goes, and just like, here we go again. Just it was kind of funny to see that him come back in and at least do like a little cameo for the WWE.
Yeah, they're starting to get a little nervous, so they're starting to actually advertise a little more on other channels other than the USA Network.
Yeah, well, because didn't they just move to Fox? I think that was like the big thing, right? It says they're going to be on, I think, Friday night SmackDown.
Starting this
Fox.
Friday.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, they're on Fox and USA now.
Right. So the reason I said I needed to do research is because my beer is from Bottle Logic in Anaheim. It's their Oktoberfest beer, the Fest of Times, it's called. It's a fest beer.
Nice.
Which basically, like, there's like the Marzens, which are more darker, and then the Fest beers, which are basically the lighter versions of the Oktoberfest beers.
Mm.
But I know a lot of people in the beer world, or especially, I guess, the common folk, non-deep dive beer people, they get upset or make fun of Oktoberfest beers being sold, you know, early September.
But it's funny. Casual, I've seen.
Yes, the casuals. That is the word I'm looking for. I just use, like, the most words to say one word.
See, Danny, you're almost professional, man. You're the level of bullshit you're spewing, man.
Just make up, fake it till you make it, right?
Yeah, I do it on a weekly basis. You guys got nothing to worry about.
So, but it's funny because the actual Oktoberfest in Munich starts basically like the third Saturday in October, in September,
mm-hmm.
and runs until the first Sunday in October. So it doesn't even, Oktoberfest isn't even in October in Germany, the official.
Yeah.
But
I think it's the pumpkin that does it for me. Like, it's August. I don't want to see pumpkin beers. It's too soon, bro. Too soon.
They got to get that money, man. But this beer, man, is really good. It's super light, crisp, easy drinking. It comes in at a 6.5%. It's got the fancy, you know, standard Bottle Logic nerd D&D style art on it with a orc holding two flasks of beer, basically.
See, I'm patriotic. I got Washington, General George Washington, on a horse on my bottle. I'm drinking the American's beer, even if it is a porter and not full of corn.
Nice. No, so,
more American than Stone Cold. So,
and actually, they're getting ready to launch that beer nationwide.
Oh, wow,
the Stone Cold beer, so you can get it on the East Coast, Sean.
Nice. Is this going to be another terrible experiment that I try?
Oh, did you try the experiment?
I did try the experiment. I had, for those that don't know, Pabst Blue Ribbon came out with a coffee beer, and New Jersey and Pennsylvania are two of the five test states. So I ended up, I was at the store, and I found it, and I bought the four-pack. I think I made it through half a beer, and I don't want any more.
Brave man. I wouldn't have gotten any of that.
You know what the funny thing is, though? It's actually, the taste of it is actually pretty decent. It tastes like drinking, like, a Starbucks, like, coffee that's bottled. It's just too sugary is the problem. Like, you take, like, a big sip, and you're just like, well, I have diabetes now. Like, I'm just going to die. Like, it's just that sugary. Like, you would I would probably get, like, sick from all the sugars before I actually got drunk off the beer.
Is it at least higher in alcohol?
It's only 5%.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'd heard that it tasted like the Java Monster.
I haven't had a Java Monster, so...
Well, it's one of those things where if you drank the whole four pack for each one you finished, you'd lose a toe. It was just...
That is pretty funny. But no, it's actually, the taste is not too bad. It just, but once you get like an aftertaste of like you just took that a spoonful of sugar afterwards.
Nice. So we have Justin on the show to return the favor and also be of him, me ruining his job and his show twice. Let's see if we can cost and but on the plus side though, his podcast network is going off pretty well because, like I said, he has the Geek Offensive that he hosts, and off of that he got himself a spinoff.
And one sort of like unofficial spinoff. One of my guests actually like got the urge to start his own podcast after being on mine, so I got that little feather under my cap.
Oh man, so you're basically like the multi-level marketer of podcasts?
Except I'm not reaping the benefits. There's no money in
this. So you're exactly like the multi-level marketer of podcasts?
Dude, you're getting paid in so much exposure. Like, what are you going to do with all that? Like, you could take it to the bank and get a loan or something. Maybe a mortgage with all that exposure.
Oh my god, I don't know what to do with all of it. All this exposure is just piling up in my house.
You're going to be in Vegas just like dashing exposure off your hands, just like making it rain exposure.
Yeah, it's too bad exposure doesn't work on the Bitcoin currency, then Methodist Bitcoin.
Yeah, I should probably clear up what Daniel's saying too. Yeah, so I got laid off couple months ago, and I've just been living off that severance life. And then, it was a little while after you showed up on the show, Daniel, right?
It was a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, but I think what also happened is, like, you did it to one of the other podcasts on our network. Jason, you appeared on his show, I believe?
Yes.
Yeah, and then not too long after, he also lost his job.
Yes. And then I was also on another podcast, Movies Made Me, hosted by Cheryl Jones, and she lost her job as well.
Jesus.
So I'm 3 for 3 right now on official guest appearances of podcasts that have...
John, do you have a job right now?
I'm union, so I'm good.
Danny could probably go cut somebody out, and they'll just smack his hand and go, "Don't do that ever again."
I mean, I did tell one of my bosses like, that he's not the boss of me.
That's funny.
So, the Geek Offensive, give us your elevator pitch.
So the Geek Offensive is, the tagline is bridging the gap between bro and geek. I feel like compared to all the other shows in our network who are very like, this is intro to geek, this is board game geek, this is game show geek. I'm the only one that's really like kind of, I'll say I'm like 70% nerd, 30% bro, as in like I'll do sport segments, I'll do... beer segments like when I had you on, along with typical like comic book movie artist stuff that we normally do. The base of the show is the main segment on the show is long form interviews, and that's what I had Daniel on for. We reviewed a few beers. You have to talk about this show and a lot of his other interests. So think like kind of a nerdier Joe Rogan. That makes sense.
Gotcha.
And less drugs.
Less drugs.
I mean, are you very that cutting edge talking about industry changing mechanics like the Avengers dildos?
I will be on the next show.
Oh, yes. We bring those up because it's just funny to bring up as often as possible that after Infinity War, somebody capitalized on the movie and made a line of Avengers sex toys, and the highlight of that was a Thanos fist.
I mean, I kind of appreciate the hustle. I'm not that surprised by it, if I'm being honest.
Well, the best part is we always just bring it up, is now it's like an inside joke, because I believe we had a guest like was like willing to listen to the show to hear what we were about, and literally turned on and like got into the middle of the episode where I don't know how the timing just worked perfectly, but that was the topic we were talking about. It was right after Avengers, and we were clowning around about the Avengers dildos, and he's like, yeah, there's probably other things I need to do with my life than be on the show.
That's a different history now. Yes. Well, a topic like that is what would show up on my show. Like, the rest of the network is very, like, family-friendly. There's, like, even no swearing. Mine's the only one that kind of is very transparent. It lets you be you on the show.
Right. I had to, I had my supervisor sitting next to me, my wife, when I was on Justin's and Alex's show, Ready, Set, Geek, to just to make sure I kept my mouth in line.
Yeah.
Colt, you know, when Cole is swearing more than me, you know, I'm being good. But one of my favorite segments on your show that I'm actually, like, now that I can't ruin your take another job away from you yet, is your bad movie segment.
Yeah, it's called Sincere Garbage. Like, once a month, one of my favorite things to talk about is just shitty movies. Wait, can we swear on this? We're good?
Okay. Oh, yes. Okay. We're a hard,
Don't you fucking swear on this goddamn show.
I asked beforehand.
I mean, I thought the Avengers dildos would set the laws and threw the bar back down on the ground
for
you.
Is that a swear word, technically?
I don't know.
It just shows that we're adult.
Got it.
Topics.
Yeah. I don't know if we're adults talking about waifu pillows and shit, but we can go there. We'll say we're adults.
Rory. Oh, yeah, yeah. One of my favorite things to talk about is bad movies. And once a month, I'll get a few people together, tell them to watch this terrible movie I've found. And we just kind of go through the whole entire plot of the movie and break it down. And most of the time, we're joking around and we're in disbelief that, like, this movie somehow made it to the screen.
Yes, and because of you, I've given Amazon some money to watch a couple of those movies. As your advice is, watch the movie before you listen to the episode so you know what the fuck's going on.
Yeah, some of them are like, you have to watch the movie for the episode to make sense. They're insane. And I also need to apologize to you for making me watch that stuff.
Well, see, I love bad movies. Like, for me, like, bad movies are the best, especially where you can just tell that there's, like, a diamond under there somewhere. It's just whether it's the budget or something that didn't allow it to shine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I watched the Ninja movie.
Oh, boy. Everyone needs to see that one.
And the Sexy Naked Vampire movie.
Oh, yeah. That one I ended up, like, genuinely liking. Not for that specific reason, but, man, that movie, it's called Life Force, and Sean, if you watch that, you're in for a ride. That movie fucking goes for it.
It's funny, because I end up watching, like, my girlfriend likes to watch scary movies, so we'll watch, like, some kind of piece of shit, like, B movie, and you're just laughing. Like, it's like, you know, it's supposed to be scary, and you're just like, I just can't take this shit seriously. Like, that ghost is, like, that monster thing is super, like, fake. It's just, everything's just so cheesy. How am I supposed to be scared right now?
Dude, Life Force is right up your alley. I don't know if it's still free on Amazon, but that's where I saw it.
Yeah, there's a part that I'm surprised you guys didn't mention on the episode where it's at the park when she escapes. Mm-hmm. And she encounters another woman, and then, like, the next moment she's somewhere else. I had to rewind a couple times to make sure I didn't blink and miss, like, the transition, because
yeah, there's some rough edits in that movie. I mean, there was so much to talk about in that movie. Like, yeah, I'm surprised. I'm not surprised we missed something.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What is everybody's, like, favorite, like, B movie?
I can't remember the name, but when I was growing up, every Halloween, for a couple years back when we could still rent VHSs from stores.
Jesus.
We would watch this one where this guy, it was like, had this monster living in his washer, and he would, like, kill people and feed it to them, and just basically it was just him shoving bodies into his washing machine, and blood would come squirting out.
Mm-hmm.
You have to tell me. You have to find this movie for me. I have to review that. It's
like,
except like that will always grab me. It's like, what? No, I have to see that now.
And then there was another one where the Nazis, some of them were able to escape as World War II was winding down, but they escaped to the moon. And they had a secret moon base, and these astronauts found it, and they needed help, like, fixing their computer, and one of the Nazi scientists flipped out when the guy pulled out of his phone and was like, yeah, here's my computer, and he like, that's not a computer!
Wait, was that on Sci-Fi? That sounds familiar.
I saw it on Netflix.
It's on Netflix. That one sounds really familiar.
Yes. Yeah, Googling on podcasts makes for great potting, or for editing.
But for other B movies, though, The Room is the bad movie of all bad movies. Birdemic is another one that's up there. Catwoman is terrible. And really good to riff on, because there's so much stuff to make fun of in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and No Holds Barred, starring Hulk Hogan. if you want to see what cocaine looks like on screen, there you go.
One of the movies I watched recently was about this guy and girl that got trapped in an elevator, and like the... you end up, like, finding out that the guy, like, planned the whole thing, and he's a security guard there, and he's just a huge stalker. It's, like, super ridiculous, because, like, you know, they go over, like, weird parts of, like, you know, they're like, yeah, somehow he just magically has, like, wine and flowers, and you start thinking about, like, his poor excuses on things, and then it's just like, oh, he's just some shitty creeper security guard who killed his buddy, who was working on the job too, so that way he could be totally alone for the whole weekend with this chick. And it's like, he like successfully seduces, and then like his story kind of gets like twisted somewhere when she's asking him questions. It's pretty like ridiculous to think. And then just like every time you think it's going to end, it just like drags on for like another 20 minutes. Like, it's like somehow like he keeps living after like things happen. You're just like, how does this keep happening?
What is it called?
I have a terrible memory, man. I can't remember. It was on Netflix though.
I'm seeing a theme here.
Yes.
That shitty thing I saw, it's on Netflix.
Just dig around.
Yeah, again, you're the professional in the room.
I wasn't prepared for this.
No.
Oh, another stinker, Tooth Fairy starring The Rock. Yeah, that one will make you nice and angry.
That's funny.
The Nazi, at least give you the Nazi one. It's called Iron Sky.
Iron Sky. That does sound really familiar. I might have to check that one out.
All right, it's called Into the Dark Down, and it's on Hulu, not Netflix. So thank you, Internet, for saving me. Into the Dark Down.
Okay.
If you're one of them Hulu people.
Oh, man. So you also do a segment on MMA fighting.
Yeah, there's a big card coming up. I'm pretty sure I'm the only sports segment on the entire network. So that's another thing that sets my show apart. Like, normally I'll have like these very nerdy interviews, and then all of a sudden, like, MMA, I have to talk about it. it's just like the nerdiest sport, because for so long it was surviving because of the internet and all these internet forums and these people like trading files online. It's like, did you see this fight and this fight? And yeah, it's like watching people with like superhero stats go at it, and that's, you know, what a lot of comic book fans do. If this superhero and that superhero fought, who would win? Like, that's pretty much what you're seeing in MMA. Like,
right, except for instead of like radioactive powers or being aliens, they get theirs all from
steroids.
Yes. I was going to say, like, both reputable and irreputable pharmacy sources.
The special juice.
Yeah, those Brazilian supplements, man. Those are that's a thing.
It's like one of the guys on the Dodgers, Manny Ramirez, when he tested positive for like an estrogen pill, because that was what they used to cover up the use of steroids, and it was like people were like, "Come on, man, you can't blame a man for wanting to have a family."
Oh my god.
Yeah, have you seen there's a 30 for 30 about Chuck and Tito?
I haven't seen that one yet. No, I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, it was just on this week. I caught the end of it, and Dana White, like in the beginning, looks like is like a kid, man. He's like skinny, wearing like oversized suits, has hair.
Yeah. I'm gonna guess he's on TRT, testosterone replacement therapy. Like, that's all the rage for like people who aren't competing or are in their 50s. Like, that's definitely what The Rock's on, at least, like minimum.
Yeah. It's like, how are you so big still, bro?
on the show sometimes, and we often debate. It's like, well, it's okay in this case, but not in this case when trying to have a legit fight put on. Yeah, me and my friend in agreement, like, once we hit like 50, it's like, let's just take steroids. Who cares? We're not competing in anything. If we were gonna have kids, we would have had them already, so why not just look, you know, thick as shit when you're older instead of just withered.
Exactly. Or they should just make a division in UFC, just the full steroids division.
They used to have that. It was called Pride Fighting Championships.
Yeah, no, but you need to bring it back, man.
Yeah, there's no drug testing in Pride. Like, that the Japanese were very much pro steroids.
Oh man, that's funny. I think one of my favorite clips on watching UFC is where the two fighters, like, pretend to start fighting during the weigh, and, like, Dana's, like, freaking out trying to break him up, and they just start fucking laughing and making fun of him.
Oh, yeah, I love those moments. Like, yeah. I mean, it's just entertaining for the crowd, and, like, yeah. You know, also it just tells you, like, those two fighters are professional. They know why they're there. Like,
yeah.
You know, sell the fight.
Yeah.
And yeah. They're probably almost, like, making fun of other fighters that actually want to fight at the weigh-in. Like, they...
Yeah. Like, yeah. Controller, you're gonna get the fight, don't worry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then there's like the one clip where the guy at the weigh-in does like random things, like him and his buddy like took, like, instead of taking wine glasses, they took water bottles and like wrapped their arms around to take a drink, and then he did like rock paper scissors, and like the guy had like his fist up, so he did paper and covered his hand, and like he won like a rock paper tournament. Like that one's always like a funny video that comes up at least once a year on Reddit, him doing his little weigh-ins.
Yeah, it's Sean O'Connell. He does that. I don't know if he's still with the UFC.
I don't think so. I think every time I read in the comments, like, he wasn't like a very successful fighter, but you know what? He gave a few good laughs though. So
yeah.
Hats off to him.
That guy.
So he's already better than Brandon Schaub or I had his name and I lost it. The dude from wrestling, WWE, that went to UFC that lasted two matches and got booed out.
Oh,
CM Punk, yes.
Oh, really? I thought you were going to talk about the big guy.
No, Brock Lesnar, actually.
He had success.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was actually heavyweight champ at some point. CM Punk lost to one guy he should not have been in the cage with, and then one guy who also sucked. So,
oh, like they put him with somebody that was just gonna probably beat the shit out of him, and they still allowed it to happen.
It was like it was a guy that his name is Mickey Gall. He was really young at the time and had a ton of potential, and he only had two pro fights, but. He was, like, in his early 20s, he had a bunch of amateur wins, and, like, CM Punk had no experience, so I don't even know how that fight got signed.
Yeah, and pretty much, like, after his last fight, Dana White, like, was like, you suck, you're not here anymore.
Yeah.
Is it basically, like, is it just, like, if you get your ass kicked too many times, it's, like, then it's, like, you're out, but if it's, like, you're like almost gonna win, and it's like a like the you lose, but like it's by like barely happens. It's like, all right, you can stick around.
Yeah, there's no hard rule, but let's say if you lose, but you were super entertaining, they're probably not gonna kick you out based on that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but usually for most players, you don't want to lose two in a row because then, like, your next match is kind of like do or die.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
And then, and you know, a bunch of UFC fighters have been making the move over to wrestling, particularly WWE with their NXT. And is that part of what got you going into wrestling again, or is it just Birdo dragging you to shows?
Part of it was Birdo. Birdo, who is the host of the new wrestling podcast on the Geeks Say What network called Pencilneck Geeks. He was part of it, but what got me interested was this match between Ricochet and Will Ospreay from, I'll say, 2015. They were in this Japanese tournament in New Japan Pro Wrestling, and the stuff they were doing looked unreal. Like, I don't watch pro wrestling to look for a real looking fight, you know? If I go there, it's like I want insanity. And like, these guys looked like an anime fight. And the crazy thing is, there were no weapons or anything. It was just them doing crazy stuff in the rain, flipping and jumping all over the place. And I was just like, wow, that's possible now? I gotta watch more of this. And then from there, you know, Birdo was happy to like guide me through what was going on in wrestling at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because, you know, I've been listening to podcasts for a while, like back when you had a co-host and you were just basically kind of similar to our show where it was just you'd kind of just talk about whatever's going on in the nerd world and just mm-hmm. state your opinions to where you've kind of grown now, where you kind of have more focus. Each week is a different, seems to be a different theme.
Mm-hmm.
What of your, like, changes, I guess, are you the most proud of? There you go. That's the question.
The specialty segments like MMA and the movie segments, those are like more of the fun shows. Those are pretty like easy to do because most of the time I have friends come on for that one. It's always easy to, you know, kill an hour and a half when it's you and like two or three other friends shitting on a movie or making fight predictions. But what I'm most proud of, though, is I feel like I've improved a lot on the one-on-one interview. Done a lot more of them this year, and quite a few of them without even like a sound interview. So like true one-on-one interview, and you know I had to try and keep it interesting. I have to keep up with the guests because I'm obviously bringing them on because they know a lot more about something that I'm interested in. And then just keeping the guest engaged. You know, keeping everything like nice and flowy without getting too heavy. So yeah, I guess my like one-on-one interview skills.
Nice, because like you know, I've noticed also like you've gone from mostly like only dick jokes to sometimes dick jokes with less like things being you're teaching people or like helping them learn things. Like you know, you had the guy the MMA fighter and his trainer on.
Yeah. Richie Palomino and his nutritionist, Ryan Munoz. I think there's been more of that focus this year. Like, I want people to, like, obviously be entertained, but I'm hoping people come away with something from each episode.
And, you know, you've, you know, caved into one of your network people's qualms of K-pop.
Oh, yeah. So that was an interesting one. One of our friends, and who also helps out with the network, Val, you meet her, she's like K-pop super fan. It's almost like too much. You're like, whoa, what? This is like extreme fandom. Like, she's living. and I just caved in. I'm like, I have to see what the big deal is. What is making you act like this? So I had her on, interviewed her. I went to a K-pop convention in Los Angeles to like, get a view of what it's like around that community. I try to be like, I'm not gonna like judge it until like I experience it and can give like my honest opinion of it. So it was good for me to go to that convention. I even made a couple of contacts there. I found like people who teach like dance workshops and interviewed them too. And it's become very, very clear that it's like, you know, the sentiment of being a nerd is kind of the same. It's just going to differ on different, like, interests.
Mm-hmm.
You can have these K-pop nerds who are really devout, really into it. And I'm like, you know, after going through all that, I was just like, you know, it's not too different than, you know, a comic book nerd waiting outside to line up for a movie or dressing up in full Iron Man armor at Comic-Con when it's like 100 degrees out. So that's one of the things I've been, you know, learning and experiencing throughout this whole thing with my show.
Right. My main experience with a K-pop is the subreddit K-pop Fap.
Oh. Wow. All right.
Later, no.
Danny, the FBI are at your door.
It's legal if it's on Reddit, right?
It's something.
But you know, with when you, especially like your fight segments or even with movie segments, like you said, you have friends on and you just kind of rip into each other almost as much as you rip into the movies. Like this morning, Sean made a mistake, and he was called out by our last guest, so I called him out on it, and when I told my wife the story, she was like, wait, why would you do that? I thought you were friends.
Well, that's why you do it. What are you talking about? Yeah, I mean, me and my closest friends who happen to help out with my show, like, yeah, we rip into each other all the time, and it's mainly because it's like we've kind of earned that with each other. We know where we stand with each other, and we know where not to poke. You know, we know what jokes to avoid. And that's like the closest relationships. Just it's gonna have that.
Right. There's this Canadian show Letterkenny that I've been watching clips of on YouTube, and there's one scene where the main star and this other dude get into a fight. And the other guy gives up, and he's on the ground, and the main star picks him up, pats him on the back, and offers him a beer. And I showed that clip to my wife, and she's like, wait, they just were fighting, now they're friends? And I'm like, that's how some guys get their best friends.
Yeah. I even had a wrestling tag team on, the Lucha Homies. Was it my last episode? Yeah, I think it was my last episode. And, yeah, they were like, bickering like an old married couple, but it's like when you see them in the ring together, they're like, oh, they work really well together. So Yeah, I just think those really close relationships, you're just gonna have that little bit of like poking fun at each other,
right? Since, you know, guys it's not manly to, you know, share your true deep feelings. We just got to do the cover surface of basically punching each other in the arm and being like, yeah, you're a dick.
Yeah, exactly. Don't be a bucket.
But Danny is a dick, so I don't really feel like I'm not. I feel like I'm giving him good feedback.
Well, Sean's just being honest.
Yeah, you know, after listening to your last episode, I was almost motivated to buy tickets to drive down to San Diego to spend what basically would be a 9-hour day to watch them wrestle.
Yeah, it's out. Actually, it's further than San Diego. It's near, right near Mexicali, near the border. I was like, damn.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like south of San Diego.
Yeah, something like that, and you're like, whoa.
I mean, they are wrestling the Lucha Brothers, but I've seen them at bar wrestling once.
Yeah.
More local, so I don't need to drive all, like I said, I don't need to make a 9-hour day to drive down there and then watch 3 hours of wrestling and drive back.
Oh, yeah. I'm hoping someone records the match and puts it online somewhere, because that's a tough drive.
So, you also have, like I said, the spinoff. Is that only available on Stitcher right now, or is that available other places?
So the spinoff, which is Pencil Neck Geeks, which came about because we've had so many wrestling-themed episodes on my show. As of right now, it's on SoundCloud. We're still waiting.
Oh, SoundCloud, I mean.
Yeah, I haven't gotten a notification for the Google and Apple podcast posts, but it's pending. We've submitted, so we're just waiting for approval.
Yeah, because there was a Pencil Neck Geeks, but they stopped. They recorded like 4 episodes like 2 years ago.
Yeah, it's like they're not using. I'm guessing that's holding us up. So,
I saw it was available and I went to download it, but I was like, oh man. But I'm hoping to listen to all the episodes and avoid mine because I like my job. No.
Oh, wait. It is up on Apple Podcasts now. Just look it up.
Nice. So, there you go. Breaking news, everybody.
Great time.
On our show.
We're adults.
You heard it here first.
Yeah, last episode, we had my wife's cousin who was a brewer in Arkansas, and he threw at the end, if you want, and I'm going to say it again, catch this episode and you're in Arkansas and you want a free beer, just mention Hoppy Head Productions to Jamie at Core Brewing in Arkansas and you get a free beer. He's giving away all his beer.
You have to go to Arkansas though, so you can't just ask for random beer. You got to go there.
Yes. That's the downfall. We're either losing or gaining our Arkansas fan base.
Hey, you know what? I don't care about those people in Arkansas.
We'll be a hit at the wedding / family reunion.
You two should just do a live show from there. Just.
Are you going to be able to tell Jaime that can we sleep at his house?
And we might have to go separate rooms, though, so I don't know if it'll be as much fun for you.
It's not how we usually end up at our beer and anime and comic conventions. We're always in the same room.
Yes. Yeah, what happens if San Francisco stays in San Francisco, right?
Exactly.
Oh, man. So, let's see. We pretty much covered most of the podcast stuff, right? Good?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, this is all the basics, yeah.
So, before you got laid off, though, you were in this beer industry, right?
Yes, I was. I worked for Heineken. I was part of the importer team out in Southern California.
So, what exactly was that responsibilities? Like, you would go through, like, the deal with the customs, or would you go to customers and try to get them to buy your beers?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. So, I was an off-premise sales specialist. I basically had a territory within Orange County. I was allowed to like look for new opportunities as well, but you were going to like all the biggest retailers. When you off-premise just means like a supermarket, liquor store, anywhere you can just buy it. On-premise means it's where you can buy it and drink it there. So like a bar or a tap room or a restaurant. So I was part of the off-premise team, and it was pretty much getting as much distribution, which means like new packages in any new products we had. Let's get them into all our biggest accounts. Let's make sure when holidays roll around or if we're sponsoring a big event, like they have a big display pushing our events, negotiate new pricing depending on their owners. So it was just kind of like pushing the sales of beer. Like if you ever wondered why liquor stores and supermarkets and stuff are like covered with like beer decorations, like it's people like I was or anyone else like that. It's just the ground team that like gets everything set up, and beyond that, like I'd have also to talk to certain buyers if accounts work through them for like ad space. So I'd have to like come up with new ads, come up with aggressive pricing. And I would have to like do that just based on like their market, their clientele. So the short answer is I sold beer in Orange County.
Right. But the long answer is you basically did whatever little menial task that got you to the selling of the beer.
Yeah. And yeah, it could be like the biggest thing from like getting into their weekly paper to facing the product on their shelf. So pretty much all of
it. Yes. So, I'm guessing since you were basically dealing with, like you said, off-site as opposed to on-site, there wasn't quite as much reason to sample the beer with the clients?
With my top accounts, yeah, because they always wanted to sit down and, like, discuss things. So that's when I'd be like, here, let's sample this. Well, we have this new thing from Tecate, because Lincoln owns them. We have this new thing from Tecate, let's try this. So it's really, like, when you're focusing on your, like, biggest accounts, like, that's when you can have those, like, you know, really longer meetings and sample stuff. If the account has a liquor license or sampling license, you can set up a sampling for customers. That works too. And that involved, like, the weirdest part of my job was putting a model to run those tastings.
Yeah, you know, I've been to Stata Brothers a couple times, and they're, like, sampling stuff, but they were, like, kind of off to the side, and then they had, like, almost like caution tape around their booth where you could only, like, walk in. So you had to, like, walk in one way and walk out the other, but you had to, like, there was a sign that's like, you must be 21 to enter here.
Mm-hmm. And then I've gotten complaints about that, too. It's like, oh, this girl's not doing anything, or the meanest one I heard was like, hey, this girl kind of fat. Like, can we get another one?
Wow.
Like, that's Jesus.
That's fucked up.
I was like, god damn, guys. I was like,
work. Jeez.
Yeah, they're there to sell beer, not to have sex with you. Guy, chill.
Yeah. God damn.
And before that, you worked at BevMo?
Yeah, so I was the resident, like, beer nerd, and my time in BevMo was in San Francisco. I worked at, like, every location in the city, and wherever I got moved to or promoted to, like, I was just always the beer guy. I was always the guy dealing with all the sales reps and all the distributor reps, so I kind of got, like, my education there. Like, BevMo will teach you basics, but then I kind of just took it upon myself and made it a point to try and drink everything in the store at least once.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah.
So basically, like, at BevMo, you would get paid and people would come in and throw beer at you and you would be forced to drink it?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Drink this beer.
Who's your beer guy? Have you tried this? And I'm like, no, I haven't, but I'd be happy to.
We have this exotic new beer called Bud Light Orange. Can you please drink it and advertise it to everybody?
What sucks about that one is just because it's Bud Light, it'll sell, like, a certain amount. So it's like, I was just like, just throw that anywhere, and then someone will take it.
You're just like, if I just give you a spot, can I not drink it?
Yeah. That's actually, this one time, I really felt bad for this company. What were they called? I want to say it was like Mata Vesa or something. But it was like a yerba mate beer, and the sales rep was really fucking cool. He came in, anything I would ask of him, he did it. It's like, hey, I can give you a spot for sampling. Can you set it up and make it look good? He's like, yeah, I got it. And then anytime his product came in on the shipment, like, he would physically put it on the shelf for me. He's really, really great sales rep. The problem is the beer was shit. And I tried, man. I gave that thing, like, prime spot in the cold box, put it up by the register as, like, an impulse buy. I'm like, I could not move it. And I was just like, this is terrible, terrible beer.
Yeah, so basically, like, you were like, look, man, you're a nice guy, but word of advice, you're a great salesman. Go somewhere else.
Yeah. Dude, if you worked for, like, Stone, I'd be like, yeah, here you go.
Oh, man, that sucks. That's got to be, like, terrible. Just be like, drink this beer. Like, yeah, nah, bro. Like, it's not you. It's not me. It's the beer, man. Sorry.
Yeah.
Well, it would be even worse if he, like, knew that the beer was shit, and, like, you were the only guy buying from him, and that's why he was, like, Johnny on the spot all the time.
I felt like he kind of knew, just because it's like, you know, because he had like a positive look on his face, but he was always a little strained, you know? There's like some pain behind his eyes.
r/ people dying inside.
Yeah. But yeah, I wanted to help that guy more, but I'm like, I can't order any more of this.
Yeah.
Buying it.
Yeah, dude, that is like the biggest thing. Like, as soon as like I told like some of my coworkers, like I started getting into brewing beer, they're like they're like, we want to try it. I'm like, no, like I don't even know if this is good. Like, you're not, I don't want you to drink it and then start judging me that I can't make beer. Like, like, no, you can't have any. Like, I gotta do a couple of test batches before I give it away, man. Like, It was just like, and it was funny, like, I had, like, one of them, like, came back. I was like, so what'd you think of the porter? I can't remember what, I think it was, like, a flavored porter. And she was like, it actually wasn't bad. And I was like, you know what? There I am. That's my master description of my beer. You know what? It wasn't bad.
Did you, when you were selling beers at BevMo, did you have any of, like, the quote-unquote beer nerds come up and, like, question you as to why you were stocking certain items or try to, like, not necessarily mansplain, but beer, like, Cicerone-splain to you why certain beers are better than others, or...
Oh, dude, it was San Francisco. It was beer snob city. which it also kind of factored into me, like, learning more about each brewery, so... Yeah, I just kind of, part of it was like I got kind of sick of like putting up with their crap, so I was like, okay, let me learn enough so that I can talk with you. Because it's always somebody, I always got like people who disagreed with everything you said, no matter what. So like real contrarian types, and then I also got a lot of, you have this one, but not this really rare one that's only made in this state during, you know, a full moon in the fall or something.
Yeah, they make 50 bottles of it, and you have to stand in line for 2 weeks to get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, for every, like, customer like that, I did get, like, a good customer who was just, like, you know, genuinely wanted to try stuff out. So, like, those people I really took care of. Yeah.
How do you balance, like, trying to support local but also support, like, adventurous breweries that are finally tapping into other states?
Well, when I was there, like, really the big names, those were only bought by people who were, like, throwing parties.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if people were just like, you know, you have a big crowd coming in, get these, they're, you know, they're not adventurous, not aggressive, they're just very accessible. Like, that's kind of where their pull comes in. And, like, just now from my experience with Heineken, like, they're a bigger company. Like, that's who they're getting. They're not getting your beer nerds, your people with more discerning palates. They're kind of just getting people who, like, I'm a Heineken guy or a Tecate guy or a Dos Equis guy. That's the bulk of their sales.
Mm-hmm.
So at BevMo, I had a little bit more freedom in, like, the last store I worked at, it was really big. So it's like, okay, I have a lot of room to play with. I'm going to try and support every brewery that makes some effort here. So it's like, okay, get a man to give it a shot. Let's set up a tasting. And then, like, the bigger names were always on some special deal. So it was easy, like, here's this big spot, you know, we'll sell a ton of it no matter what. So, yeah, you're just really, like, going after certain crowds, certain mm-hmm. beer.
Yeah.
Well, like, for me, you know, getting my doorway back into beer was basically Guinness and Newcastle.
Oh, I remember you talking about.
So, I mean, Newcastle. Yeah, so Newcastle is a nice, like, it's like a safe craft beer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's funny because I think I went from, like, you know, the Big Brew to Blue Moon, which I get Blue Moon is also big. And then it was it's actually Stone. It was the Ruination that actually, like, pulled me into the dark side of microbrews. That was, like, my path. It was like whatever, like, you know, the parents bought. Then it was like, then I would buy Blue Moon consistently for myself. And then it was like, my buddy's like, hey, you should try an IPA. And I was like, I'll try this Ruination thing. And it's just like, I was like, what did I discover? Like, this is amazing.
Yeah. You know, it's funny you say that. Blue Moon, like, I know it gets a lot of shit, but at the same time, like, it's consistently one of those transition beers. Like, when people are just getting away from, like, Bud Miller Coors, it's like, mm-hmm. they'll drink one of those, and it always leads to, like, trying other stuff.
I feel, that's why I feel like I don't, like, you know, I don't care for Blue Moon anymore, that much anymore. Like, it's usually, like, if I want a beer and there's, like, nothing else, you know, like, at a shitty place like Hooters, It's like, it's like, all right, Blue Moon it is. Woo! I'm going crazy. But I think like you have to have those Segway beers because like the world of IPA sours and porters, stouts, like it's so much more aggressive tasting that you do need like a kind of like a bridge to get there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's why I love to bring new people to people who've never been to a brewery before, and just almost like test my pairing skills. If I can be like, all right, so what do you drink normally? And then if I can find something on the menu, and if not, then I'll defer to the person behind the counter, and I guess almost test the mettle of that brewery to see if they're welcoming to new beer drinkers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
a good way to do it. But also, I'm happy to have you on the show, Justin, because you. And I have something in common that Sean can. We can just ignore Sean for the rest of the show. Probably is we're both fans of Star Wars.
Yeah. What? I don't. where are we going with this? You act like I'm a Trekkie or something.
Well, not so much that you're a Trekkie, but you're just usually whenever I talk about Star Wars stuff, you like give me the solid meh and shrug your shoulders.
I don't know how I feel right now. I'm just gonna go look off into the sunset or something.
Oh, one single tear coming down your cheek.
Exactly. I'm hurt,
but
and broken.
This is like new breaking news, so it was kind of interesting. Apparently, Bob Iger wrote a book, and in his book, he mentioned that George Lucas was kind of disappointed that they didn't use his ideas for Episode 7, 8, and 9. Because when Disney bought the movies, they also bought his ideas, like basically like his screenplays, or if not full written, but at least his like plot synopsises. Sure. And so, it came out that his plot synopsis was that the midichlorians were basically controlled by an alien species, and at some point the Jedi were going to shrink down. Interspace style and go inside the body of another Jedi to figure out how to the inner workings of the midichlorians.
What? I was about to like, you know, say some nice stuff about George, but not anymore.
You know, sometimes you just get too high. That's what it is. Sometimes you just get too high. You know, I don't know what it was. But too high. Maybe too drunk. Too something else.
I mean, he's rich as shit. He can try whatever he wants. So, I mean, he's probably got some access to some crazy stuff that we haven't heard of.
Right. And even in his quote, he was like, here's what my vision was for the movies. He's like, I know a lot of people probably wouldn't like it, especially after their reaction to the prequels. They definitely would not have liked 7, 8, and 9.
Oh, boy. Wow. That sounded rough. I mean, respect him for creating like Star Wars, and because he's basically created this giant sandbox like all the fans can play in, but yeah, I kind of see why they didn't go with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's a YouTuber we talked about on the show, and he actually called out not this year's San Diego Comic-Con, but last year's San Diego Comic-Con, the Ready Set Geek panel for nostalgia, does it belong to you?
Oh, they did. Okay.
Like he featured that on a video about how social justice warriors are ruining Comic-Con.
Uh-huh.
And so that he mentioned like all the different things how social justice warriors are ruining Comic-Con, and one of the things he mentioned was the Geek Say What panel on does nostalgia belong to us as being something that's ruining Comic-Con.
Funny you mentioned that. I was on that panel.
So, yeah,
so Justin, you just got punched in the face. Now, can you please rebuttal? Yeah.
I mean, I have to.
Well, no. Basically,
what's his issue? I mean, nostalgia kind of like acts as this like gatekeeper to new fans, and I'm like, we can't do that. If you're a fan of something, like, you want to bring in new people, you can't like stop people from like, oh, you're not a good enough fan for this. That's just gonna turn people off. If you keep doing that, whatever property you like is gonna die.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just the wrong
right.
mindset, and it's like you should be welcoming, like, hey, this is the thing. I can explain stuff to you. Like, try this out if you like these kinds of stories. You know, like, be a welcoming fan. And like the whole thing with nostalgia is whenever there's a remake or something adjacent to a remake, like everyone just loses their shit. It's like, oh, my childhood's ruined. And it's like, oh, why they make this? And it's like, it was better the first time. And I'm like, just okay, cool, you can still watch the original thing, like, but we still need the new thing to bring in more new fans so the property doesn't die.
Right. Well, I mean, basically whenever we bring him up, we also mention how he's a garbage person. But because, like, I mean, even to this day, he's like posting things like how he does like 3 videos a day during the week, and like one of the videos was talking about how Disney is trying to move on from Brie Larson being Captain Marvel. And I'm like, I googled that a lot, and I have not found any information to say that what you're saying, find what you're saying is true.
What?
But basically, my point of bringing him up was that he was one of the main people rallying about how he's like, yeah, they should have went with George Lucas's idea because 7 and 8 sucked, and 9 is going to be even worse because, you know, it's not my Star Wars, and Luke wasn't my Luke. He's one of those guys.
Yeah, because why should it be exactly the same as the old thing when you don't do something new with it? Like, just go watch the old thing. You're fine.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't.
So he was one that was like, oh man, they didn't use George Lucas's idea. His ideas would have been great. Why didn't they use his idea, man? Why did they make George sad? And it's like, so you like Jar Jar Binks then? Is what you're saying?
There are a lot of Star Wars fans like that, unfortunately, which is why I think Star Wars has the worst fan base right now. But yeah, I just think, like, you know, one, that not only turns off new fans, but I'm like, it can't be healthy to, like, think that, you know? You're, like, constantly that negative. That's got to wear on you. Got to, like, turn you
right, off. And then... Yes, this guy is just a miserable person. Basically, he's like the Fox News of YouTubers, where he just like poses questions, and then he's like, "I'm not saying it's true, but what do you guys think?" And then his followers are like, "It must be true because those words came out of your mouth." he talks about.
I always hate that. Like, decide if it's true or not, and I'm like, you're probably insinuating that it's true because you're saying it on this video, so.
Right? It's probably not true, but you're heavily implying that it is, and people that don't want to do any research will believe you.
Yeah.
Because he posts a lot of stuff about how Marvel Comics, is like, their comic side is going down the drain because all the social justice warrior comics and how their comics are getting political. And, you know, I kind of have discussions with him with a friend of mine, friend of the show, Man-Thing. See? I find a way to fit it in.
You always do. You just gotta, like, just jerk him a little bit.
Yeah, just give him a little tug. Just let him know that I know he's there. Anyways, I sent him a panel from, like the 70s X-Men, and they're talking about political stuff, and I sent it to him, and he was like, wait, comics have always been political? And I'm like, that's the whole point of the X-Men.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So, Justin, I know we mentioned you're on a couple podcasts. Where can they be found? Social medias?
You can find me on... I'm primarily on Instagram. So Instagram, at Justin Malari. Sometimes I'm on Twitter. So there's at Justin _Malari. And then my show, Geek Offensive, has its own social media as well. The handle at Geek Offensive. And the new spinoff podcast, Pencil Neck Geeks, is also on Instagram and Twitter as well.
Very cool. And then it's nice that JPG finally released the Pencil Neck Geeks after forcing you to promo it for 6 months.
Yeah. Which is always his plan for some reason. He's like, start plugging this one, and then like not even just the wrestling one. A project will come out, and I'll announce it, and then we don't see it for 6 months. And I'm like, why are you making me say this?
and it's pretty funny because, you know, listening to Geek KO and Ready Set Geek and your show and Diverse Geeks in Focus, you're the first one to start plugging something. So he's definitely doing that to you on purpose. It's not a coincidence that it's just you.
Okay. You gotta stand up, pull your razor out, and be like, I'm a real man. No, no more.
Well, Well, they did invade his studio, and coincidentally enough, the show came out like a week later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was actually fun, and this is where Jason actually, who's the owner of the network, like, actually like was very cool about it. So we kind of built this angle around the new wrestling show, like, you know, like a wrestling storyline. We just did this with the podcast, and we just built this mini feud to like hype up the show for listening. Yeah. It's actually pretty fun.
It was, man. So thank you very much for being on the show again. Geek Offensive, Instagram, whatever you listen to your podcast, People Night Geeks.
Yeah.
I'll be on a show eventually.
On major platforms, yeah.
All right, everybody. You can also find us on the social medias. So we're on Instagram, the Facebook under Hoppyhead Productions, Untapped, Hoppyhead Productions, Dr. Doom 2828 for the Sean's. Untapped.
For me. You can always look at the cool New Jersey stuff I'm drinking.
The Bon Jovi beers.
The Bon Jovi. Fair enough.
The land of Bon. All right, everybody. See you next week.
We'll see you guys.